Morning. As always, I'd like to thank everybody for coming. You know, Baruch Hashem, the shir has a life of its own. Besides thanking everybody for coming, I really have to thank one of the parties over here was actually the impetus for the topic today. We thank them for that. Another member of the share who's not yet here, but I'm sure he'll be by later, gave me a tremendous story, which is insightful in the whole topic. And that's, you know, when the share works well, people are thinking about what to talk about. People see the topic, they want to contribute, they want to be part of it. And of course, the contributions that people make, Shas Mice of the share. I'm just saying that, you know, even the jokes that go on over here is a staple of the share. So we appreciate everyone and their participation. Today happens to be a special day. It's the 51st anniversary of the schos of us getting back the Kosel city. And really, obviously, a monumental event in modern Jewish history. And it's interesting that forever the Yom Tov of Shavuos is tied together with that date. It happened a mere few days before the Yom Tov of Shavuos. The Yom Tov of Shavuos, of course, is a Yom Tov which most exemplifies, focuses on Torah. And that Yom Tov of Shavuos is forever tied together with 1967, it's getting back to Kosel. That first year in 1967, I wasn't there, but I heard accounts.
You weren't alive yet.
Thanks for outing me. But I was born a decade later. The end of the next decade. But in 1967, it was told to me that Jews who lived anywhere in walking distance from all across the land of Israel, of Yerushalayim, walked and went to the Kosel. This schos, which they didn't have for decades upon decades, they finally got back, was something that just brought up such emotions. Everybody went to Eretz Yisrael, to the Kosel, to be there. And in fact, that's something I did see my own self. I discussed being in Eretz Yisrael 20 years ago for Shavuos, and I remember walking to the Kosel with thousands upon thousands of people walking the streets in the middle of the night, go to the Kosel to be there for Shavuos morning. It's still something, it's still an event, which is definitely very, very marked. And I decided to tie these two things together, upcoming Yom Tov Shavuos, together with the fact of what it means today to be able to go to Eretz Yisrael, to be able to go to Yerushalayim, to the Kosel. I decided I'm going to talk about the concept of Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Those two things together. Torah and Eretz Yisrael. In general, what's the ma'ila of learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael? Maybe we'll even try to hit specifically the ma'ila of learning Torah in Yerushalayim or by the Kosel. You know, we'll talk. People, you know, Eretz Yisrael is a place which anytime you have an excuse to go to Eretz Yisrael, you want to visit. But definitely around the Yom Tov, and people go. You ask the travel agents, which is the most common Yom Tov that people go, they probably would say Sukkot or Pesach. But I'm here today to make the point, maybe this will change the travel agent's request, but to go to Eretz Yisrael for Shavuos might make even more sense than Sukkot or Pesach. It's a shorter time, right? Huh? Okay, yeah. But Shavuos is a wonderful time to be in Eretz Yisrael, and I'll perhaps share with you why. Now, when you talk about what's this naila, this advantage of learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael. So I think many people have heard the phrase Avira da'ara machkin, right? The air of that land makes you smart.
Smart?
Makes you smart, machkin.
Sure.
Now, okay, you'll tell me there are many Israeli scientists who've won Nobel Prizes. There are many great Talmid Chachamim living in Eretz Yisrael. A lot of smart cabbies you find in the streets. Right? I see some dumb ones too, the way they drive, but the source of this concept of Vir Da'ar Machim, my knowledge, only comes up one time in Shas. It's a Gemara Bava Basra. So let us begin over there. So to give background, let's start with the Mishnah. It says Kuf Nun Chesam and Beis in Bava Basra. The Mishnah says, Nafal Bais Alav Al Imo. This is not a joke. If a house falls upon a person and his mother, Elil Modim Shiachloku. First opinion is that we divide it between, you know, the situation is the house fell and unfortunately people died. It's questionable who dies first. Where does the Yerusha go? Does it go to the son? Does it go to the mother? Right? If there's only one son here, so if the son died first, the mother would inherit him. If the mother died first, then the son would get everything. So it's not clear. First opinion is you split it. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Moda ni b'zeshen nechasa b'cheskasa. Rabbi Akiva has an opinion that you keep things with its previous status. Amalo ben Azai, al chalukim on a mitzarim, el shabbos al chalak alinu, es hashavim. They were arguing earlier about other cases, now you're going to add on this to it. Okay, the Gemara tries to understand this statement of Rabbi Akiva, that you keep it by the chazak, b'cheskes mi, whose possession is this land in? All these things, b'cheskes mi. Who has a previous status? So Rabbi Ilo Amar Becheskas Yerushei Ha'Eim. The previous status would revert to the mother. If we're going with statuses, the mother comes first. Rabbi Zeira Amar Becheskas Yerushei Ha'Ben. He says, no, the son should come first. He should have the chazaka. Okay? We're not getting fully into what is the reasoning behind it. We'll see in a moment. Kisalik Rabbi Zeira, but when Zeira went to Eretz Yisrael, come bishitas Rabbi, he went and changed and took the opinion of Rabbi Loi. They were having a major machlokas over here. Obviously, machlokas, it could be worth, you know, thousands, millions of dollars. Question about Yerusha. Does it go to the son? Does it go to the mother's family, the son's family? So, the Gemara says that Rabbi Zera went to Eretz Yisrael, he switched shitas and agreed with Rabbi Ila. The Bach takes out the next line. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Shema Mina, Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkin. We see from here the air of Eretz Yisrael makes you smart. And the Rashbam over there says in the bottom, Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkin. Shema Yasa Alosi L'Eretz Yisrael, from the time that I went to Eretz Yisrael, Nasatis Libi Lotzis Mishitasi Rishona. I changed my thought process from my original first shita to get to the truth. That's what the Gemara says. Interesting Gemara. So this Gemara is telling us that there is a major machlokas between two Amorayim. They each dug in the ground their shita. And we know from many Gemaras, you know, we did one of them, I think, not too long ago, right? That, you know, you dig in with your shita. I hold today is, you know, Yom Kippur, not Yom Kippur. I'm going to walk, you know, and not do malacha. You know, I'm not going to make a kalmali on Shabbos. I have my shita. I'm going to stick with it. But yet, Gemara here tells a story how Reb Zera ended up changing his shita. And the reason the Gemara attributes that is he went to Eretz Yisrael and Avir the Aramachim, he saw the light. He went through the sugya, the learning again. And under those conditions, being in Eretz Yisrael, now all of a sudden, he saw it a different way. And he saw that the Rashbam calls Amitas Advarim, he saw the truth, and he saw that he was mistaken. The position of Reb Ila was really the right position. And therefore, he backed down, changed his shita. So this Gemara is teaching us this concept that Avira da Aramachim, that the land of Eretz Yisrael, Avira da Eretz Yisrael, has a special power. It can make a person see the truth. Till now, you viewed life a certain way, you understood the Torah a certain way, but by going to Eretz Yisrael, your view changed. There was a new analysis, there was greater clarity, Archavas Hadas, and now all of a sudden, you changed. So the Gemara is telling us that this is something which practically made a difference in paskening or seeing halacha. This is the only Gemara. I found in the Rishonim another idea of Avir da Aramachim, also very interesting. The Gemara in Sanhedrin. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, but really the idea of this Tosfos appears in Psachim, it appears in Chulin. Tosfos says this idea in a few spots. I'll read the Gemara, also not directly dealing with Eretz Yisrael. It only comes up in Tosfos. The Gemara says, Amar Rav, Haiman Dibay Lameidin Dina. A person wants to get involved in Psach Halacha. Vital Mibayla Miftara, and to the extent that if you make a mistake, sometimes you're potter, you're not responsible for that. Lishka Rishusim Bei Reish Kalusa. You have to get Rishus, you have to get like a smicha from the Reish Kalusa. The head. The Chain Amar Shmuel Lishka Rishusim Bei Reish Kalusa. So the Gemara goes through different scenarios. Are we talking about Eretz Yisrael? Are we talking about Bavel? And the Gemara ends up being mechalik between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. Hacha shevet hasa mechoke. And quotes a pasuk. Lo yasser shevet mi Yehuda, eru rashi galio shabi Bavel sheyardin es Yisrael b'shevet. These are the heads in Bavel that ruled Klal Yisrael with the stick. Mechokim bein raglov, el b'nei banov shalilo, shalom to berabim. They taught Torah. So if you skip into the middle of Tosfos, Tosfos struggling with a different Gemara over there. So Tosfos says, Amar Rabbeinu Tam, Hanim Yilu b'molsa d'isr v'heter. When it comes to pasking a Shiloh, is something usher, is something mutter? Classic Shilohs that Rabbonim have to paskin. Isr v'heter. D'b'nei Eros Yisrael mechkim etfei. The people in Israel were smarter. Davira d'Eretz Yisrael machkim. Tosas there is mechalik. Aval inyan hafkos momom. But in terms of monetary issues, there you have a concept of hefker bezin hefker. Adiv b'nei bavel. Then bavel people are better. Ikri shevet shirodim is on b'mako because they have the power of doing knossim, or ruling over the people with a stick. Very, very interesting. Tosfos understands over here there's really two categories of halacha. There's the classic shilos of Issa v'Heter, and then you have other issues of monetary things, which, when it comes to money, there's a concept of hefker, bezin, hefker. And bezin has the power to control money, to do things which they think are the best for the communal growth, helping the community go. So when it comes to regular shilos of Issa v'Heter, Tosfos explains the Gemara that the Talmidei Chacham and Eretz Yisrael got kedima. They got preference. Why did Talmidei Chacham and Eretz Yisrael get preference? Because Avir da Aramachim. If you want to ask a shayla on your chicken, you want to get the best pshat, maybe you should get an El Al plane and take it to a posuk in Israel. That's what Tosa seems to say. I'll be bashless. Avir the Aramachim. Right?
Dry ice.
Right? You happen to have a Shiloh. You're going to Israel anyway. Okay? And it comes to Issavur Heter paskening Shilohs, Avir the Aramachim. When it comes to, practically ruling as a Bezdin, Mamanis cases, maybe Bavel then was greater. That's an idea. Now, so far, from these two sources, all you've seen, Avir de Aramachim, we saw in the Gemara, it's something that helped one Amora see the light, and Paskin, Kineged, who originally was against his friend, now he's giving in. And we also see Tosus uses this as a reason why, in general, we follow the Psak Halacha those times of the judges in Israel, because for classic Issavur Heter, they're better because of Avir da'ar Machin, Machin Tve, they're smarter. Now, one thing we don't see, what about us? I'm not an Amora, and I'm not a judge. Do we see the concept of Avir da'ar Machin? Yes.
This whole concept of here, is that the source is supposedly Moshe Rabbeinu when he looked over at the land, he wasn't able to figure out all this.
This is dangerous. People know a lot here. So I'll get to that. That's phase two.
Okay.
Excellent point. Yes, you are quoting the Rugachover. But we will get to that. Yes?
Moshe, clarify. Why would there be a difference between us and
Moshe?
In other words, once you see this idea that it helps, so then color helps for anybody.
Right. So I definitely could hear such a Svara. The Gilyoni HaShas in Baba Basra debates this. And he says, look, in the Gemara, you only find the Bala Amarayim in there in Baba Basra. And Tosus does talk about it. He talks about a reference to passing halacha. There is perhaps Avir the Aramachim is a force which I would say puts you over the top. You're a Talmud Chacham. You're an Amora. You're a Dayan. So the Paskin Halacha, you want to get mamish to the truth. So you're talking about, this extra Siyata Nishmaya, this extra power to get to absolute clarity. Then I'll utilize Avir the Aramachim. But you're not going to take somebody who's an ignoramus, who's an Amar Aretz in America, send him to Israel, overnight, he becomes a Talmud Chacham. Right? Avir da Aramachim seemingly is not magical.
Nobody proposed that, but in other words, why would it be different nowadays? You have two people, you have the same quote-unquote ignoramus, whether you're here in Eretz. But presuming all factors are equal, I don't think the Gemara meant that a guy that Amoritz living in Eretz Israel would beat out an Amora living in Babel Rav, you would pass him like some Amoritz in Eretz Israel because he's in Eretz Israel. No, it meant all basically considered equal, that would...
Right, so Hagufa.
So why would that not be the same today?
Okay.
Somebody here, you have a Rav.
Okay, so we'll get to that. We'll get to that. I'm starting off from the Gemara, from the Rishonim, and the Gilyonei HaShas has this as a suffix. He's not sure. Now, I did find, in line with what you just brought down, there's one place as a Chassam Sofer over here. Chassam Sofer in the Gemara in Chulin. Chassam Sofer itself doesn't explicitly say it. Definitely people take it that way. The Gemara in Chulin makes a statement. First, the Gemara says that most Gentiles are... This is, again, in the times of the Gemara. Things might have changed somewhat since then. But the Gemara makes the statement that the Gemara really first says that all Goyim believe in Avodah Zarah. And then the Gemara challenges that. Really? Everybody? So the Gemara downgraded. Okay, Rov.
Mostly.
Then the Gemara makes a statement that this is how the Gemara qualifies it. Rov Goyim in Chutz La'aretz are Minim, are Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but it's Minog Avoseim B'yadam. It's the minog of their forefathers in their hands. And the Chassam Sofer goes on to explain that obviously, you know, Chassam Sofer is looking back from our perspective nowadays. You know, most people in the world, it's a pretty logical conclusion that there has to be a God. Pretty basic, you know, scientific proof. We could understand that, you know, this world is so complex, this world's so amazing. How could he just think it just happened? Okay, I'm not getting to that discussion today. But Elamai, the pshat is that minhag avosayim biyadam. Many people, this is what they were trained, this is what they're used to, this is what their father told them. So that's why the mindsets, it's hard to change the mindset. That's how the Chassam Sofer interprets the Gemara. But he does, but it seems that's only akum b'chutz la'aretz. What about in Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael is different. Eretz Yisrael is different even legabe goyim. A Gentile living in Israel, this Chassam Sofer is asserting, would have a different perspective, would be smarter than a Gentile living in Chutz La'aretz. He would be more open, the Chassam Sofer is asserting, to recognize a God. Something which we would think is somewhat obvious, but many people struggle with minhag avoseim biyadam. They're used to, you know, supporting the philosophy that there is no God. So if they're in Eretz Yisrael, they would change. So that means he's taking this idea not just to great Talmid Chachamim, to Amorayim, to Beis Din. This would apply even to Goyim. Obviously, Kosha came to Jews. So this is one example of people taking it. It's not only a high madrega of Torah. On top of that, there's a din avir, the Aramachim. This guy knows nothing. His starting point is minhag avoseim biyadam. He's worshiping the dust of the ground. But after exposure to the land of Israel and the air in the land of Israel, even he could change. Avir da aramachim even applied to a Gentile.
The Yashki people of Eretz Israel are more zealous about their Yashkiness.
Okay, so I don't want to get a full theological discussion, what's considered Avodah Zarah, what's considered religion and God, but some of them believe in God. Yes?
So, in regard to Jews, though, what if, you know, we had a situation, you know, 200 years ago, where maybe, or 100 years ago, where maybe 5% of the Jewish people were in Eretz Yisrael and 95% were outside. Would it still hold?
Interesting. So I would like to talk about these type of cases. You know, where the great scholars in Torah and in the world vis-a-vis Israel. That's an excellent point. We'll get to that. Yes.
Gemara says minim. The Lashon minim in Gemara usually refers to an actual question. I'm not sure. But the Lashon minim was brought
over there. Oh gosh.
Specifically.
I was trying to stay in the Jewish quarter today. Can we appreciate the Jewish quarter today?
Oh, boy.
Now, hold on. Talk about tourists. I saw a very interesting question. Okay. So once we're ready to accept that this concept, which, as we said before, Avir da Aramachim, is not an elite concept which only applies to great Talmid Chachamim, or to a Beis Din, that they have this special bracha, the schus, yat ishmaya, of Avir de Eretz Yisrael. No, it applies to anybody, even applies to a Gentile there. Right? For the record, I expected someone to ask me if it applies to Gentiles. I've seen some, you know, pretty stupid things that Arabs have done, you know, over the years and different things. But I assume that special Siyat Deshmaya, that all these guys always blow themselves up while they're trying to put on their bombs, you know, in the bathroom. But what about a tourist? We all know in Israel they try to put everything in a bottle and sell it to you, right? You want some sand from Masada, right? You want, huh? So I'm sure you never saw them sell Avir Da'ara, right? Can you put the air from Israel in a bottle, right? One of these nice Evian type, you know, glass bottles. Right, a red bendel around it, cut on top. We have good marketing over here. And especially today, after this share, I'm sure I could sell you bottles of Eretz Yisrael air. Now, that really wasn't my point. I wasn't trying to talk about bringing Eretz Yisrael air here and imbibing it. Right. But what about a tourist going to Eretz Yisrael? If you're there for a week as a tourist, are you subject to this bracha of Avir Da'ara Mafkin? Or maybe it's only something which when you're living there, you live there, you're there all the time, then this air, this enlightenment hits you. But if you're just passing in and out, right, you're not on the ground long enough to imbibe Avir Da'ara.
Depends on how much falafel.
The what?
How much falafel.
It's a different type of air.
It depends what you're doing when you're there.
I found this shiloh discussed by one of the modern day poskim, Yitzhak Zilberstein. Does Avira Da'ara Machkim apply to someone going on vacation? Now, if you can have the exact formula, again, I'll do very well with the travel agents. You call me travel agent, I want to plan a week's trip to Eretz Yisrael. Sir, do you realize Avira Da'ara only kicks in week two? Would you like to extend another week?
Good
this agent. Message brought to you courtesy of the hotel.
Right. Yes.
The tour.
So, Rav Zilberstein found a fascinating response to this. He found it, I found this in the Sefer Chashukei Chemed, which are a collection of Rav Zilberstein's Torah. On Baba Basra, on this Kuf Nun Ches, it's from Rav Shlomo Kluger. Shlomo Kluger is a famous Baal Halacha, it's printed on the side of many Shulchan Aruchs, but he has a Sefer on Chumash. Check, our yeshiva here doesn't have it. Name of the Sefer is Imre Shefer, and there in Parsha Shalach, he has a fascinating pshat. Now, Parsha Shalach, we have the story with Meraglim, how Moshe and Aaron ended up sending these Meraglim to Eretz Yisrael. And obviously, we know the tragic ramifications of that trip. And Rav Shlomo Kluger is trying to explain within the story there is debates. You know, quote unquote, there are mistakes made really in sending the spies. And I believe there he's referring to a Medrash which takes to task Moshe and Aaron for coming up with such a plan, for acquiescing at least such a plan. But as opposed to Yeshua and Kalev, once they were there in Eretz Yisrael, they saw the truth that we're in trouble, and this is not going to work. And Rav Shlomo Kluger explains, why was it that Yeshua and Kalev were able to size up the situation that we're in for trouble over here? These Meraglim are, the other Meraglim are going to mess Jewish people over. But yet Moshe and Aaron, the great leaders of Klal Yisrael, missed it. And Rav Shlomo Kluger attributes that difference how Yeshua and Kalev got it right, while in this situation, Moshe and Aaron got it wrong, was because Yeshua and Kalev saw that when they were on the ground. Avira da Aram Afkin. When they spent that time in Eretz Yisrael, they saw the facts on the ground. Hey, these people I'm with, they're going to mess up the Jewish nation. Moshe and Aaron missed that, but Yeshua and Kalev, Moshe that heard that to a certain degree, he was in Mizbal for Yeshua, but he fully didn't see it. And Shlomo Kluger attributes that difference to Avira da Ara. Now, Reb Zilberstein makes a point. Yeshua and Kalev were only visiting Eretz Yisrael. They were spies. They were going in and coming back out. Yet, he says that still played a difference in their understanding of the situation, of defining the situation, still applied to them. Now, I saw somebody try to knock this off. Well, hey, they were going there, but they were going there. It's like a tourist visiting Israel to buy his, on his way to buy his house. They were going there, al das, to potentially to move in. Let's go and conquer the land. But pashtus, you know, we didn't know when exactly that would happen. Pashtus, they were tourists.
When you say Moshe missed it.
Yes.
What do you mean that he missed that
tour?
Well, I don't want to go through the whole thing there with the story. You know, many chazals, you know, the Meraglim. You're right in a sense. Moshe Rabbeinu realized, he thought his hands were tied and he had to agree to do the spies. And he knew that there was a chance that they could wreak havoc. And that's why he was a mispal for his Talmud Yehoshua. So Moshe did foresee this could go wrong. But end of the day, he signed off on it. He signed the deal.
But it wasn't like they had Nebuah.
Right, right. This is Rav Shlomo Kluger's pshat. I'm not sure I would have said this myself. But Rav Shlomo Kluger's perception of it is that's what the difference in, I believe, defining this medrash between Yeshua and Kalev, it wasn't just the fact that they were there spending time. He also could have said, when you live with somebody and you're spending time with somebody, you understand people better. He didn't say that. He attributed the difference in the understanding of the whole scheme, the whole scenario, to Avira da Ara. So, now again, this is not a sefer in halacha, but it's from a Baal halacha, Rav Shlomo Kluger, and Reb Zilberstein utilized this as, hey, look, it seems from here, Avira da Ara Mafkim would even apply to a tourist. And even for a short stay, right? They went in and out to Eretz Yisrael, relatively speaking. For those days, well, you have airplanes.
You see a lot of politicians take a visit to Israel and then they change their perspectives.
Yeah, the Alibaba guy. Yeah. Smart guy.
So why weren't the other spies
also effective? Excellent point. You're right. Right?
Who said that they weren't? They just decided to use it for the bed. It's not necessarily.
Right. You know, it seems. Right? It's a very good point you bring out. Is Avir da Ara Malkim positively helped Yeshua and Kalev? Perhaps that was maybe even part of Moshe Rabbeinu's chesed. Moshe Rabbeinu thought maybe when they go to Eretz Yisrael, maybe they'll be better. Maybe Avir da Ara Malkim. But it doesn't always work. At least it doesn't work connected your negative forces, you know, inside of you. So the other Shvatim, they made the mistake. But Yeshua and Kalev, they saw the light even better. Yes?
I don't have it in front of us here.
Yes.
Some people were saying that because Avir the Aramachim, they were able to come to the truth about the situation in Israel, or because of Avir the Aramachim, they were able to perceive what the other guys.
Yeah, so I'd like to see it inside to make such a fine difference.
That's why, because they came to their conclusion without being in Eretz Yisrael. These 10 were off, and they were on.
Yeah.
The question is, what did Moshe think about the 10 who were off? Moshe clearly did not think that they were going to do what they did, otherwise he would have never sent them. Yeshua and Kalev somehow perceived their wrongdoing more than Moshe. So then,
yes,
fear that wouldn't help them make the decision. It just helped them understand where the other guys were coming from.
Yeah. So let me summarize. So far, we have the Gemara Bava Basra. The Gemara clearly says in Avir da Aramachim that made for a difference, one Amora poskening and seeing the light of his fellow Amora. We see from Tosfos, this is something practically we attribute in Beis Din for Issa v'Heter. We see Sam Sofer, the Gemara Chulin, applies it even to Gentiles living in Israel. Avir da Aramachim, they're different than the Gentiles in Chutz La'aretz. We see that it applies, it was overseen, it was ready to paskin, even to a tourist. And finally, I found the Pelo Yoeds, which is a practical sefer of Musar, written by a Sephardic giant, quite a while ago. Just brings the Pasha to point to every Jew, Avir da Aramachim, you have a chance to go to Eretz Yisrael, so that's something which affects your life, affects your Torah learning, the Torah perspective. It's something definitely that we all could have access to, whether we're there to live or even there as a tourist. Now, what I would like to get into now is what's the reasoning or the source behind this. Why is it that the land of Israel, Avir da Aramachim, and someone suggested before one possible reason. I want to get though. The Pashut reason, I believe, is really with the Gemara in Ksubas. There's a Gemara in Ksubas, the famous Gemaras at the end of Ksubas talk about the Milos of Eretz Yisrael. In fact, I remember we did a share earlier this year, the idea of being buried in Israel. And that source is also from this same few blood in the Gemara in Ksubas. So the Gemara says, HaKol Milin Eretz Yisrael, everyone could go up to Eretz Yisrael. Vena kol motzien. It's not so simple for people to leave Israel. Hakol ma'ilin Yerushalayim. Everyone could go up to Yerushalayim. Vena kol motzien. Echad anoshim ve'echad anoshim. There's a ma'ilah to going up to Eretz Yisrael. There's a ma'ilah going up to Yerushalayim. And once you're there, not so simple, you can leave. The Gemara elaborates on this thing. Tanu Rabbanan. La'olam yador adam be'Eretz Yisrael. Feel the ear sheruba over the chachavim. You know, it's best to live in Israel, even a city which is rove Gentiles. Val yidu b'chutz aretz, val fil b'ir sheruba Yisrael. Shekol ador b'aretz Yisrael, doma k'mish yesh lo l'ka. V'chol ador b'chutz aretz, doma k'mish yesh lo l'ka. And I quote Pesukim for this. Now, I'm sure this many people have heard this Gemara quoted to them. Pashtos, the simple pshat in the Gemara is Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisraini Hashem al-Kachaba. Hashem's eyes is always in Eretz Yisrael. Special Hashkacha that Hashem has in Eretz Yisrael. And that's why you have a more connection to Hashem in Eretz Yisrael. But with that, really are two pshatim. People explain, what's this special Milo of Eretz Yisrael? A mile of going there, not so simple to leave. So the Chassam Sofer in the Shalos Teshuvos learns Pashtos, I believe, Pshat in this Gemara, in this Mishnah, because it's higher Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. That's also part of Eini Hashem Al-Kachaba. And since there's higher Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, look, in a holy place, it affects you. That Kedusha, of course, would also affect Avir da Aramachim. That's why the land of Eretz Yisrael makes you smart. There's greater Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael. That Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is a foundation of Avir da Aramachim that affects these halachas, does everything. Of Kedusha with making you smart. So, okay. That's really based on what the chiluk before is. You're asking stamakash on Issa v'Heter versus different types of psak. But kedusha is something which makes sense. You know, Chazal say that the hevel piyim shel tinoka shel beis rabam is greater than the bayi v'rava, because younger kids, more purity, more kedusha, their Torah carries more weight than even great Abai Varava. So Kedusha does play a role in a person's understanding of Torah. Now, for the record, the Tashbats learned on this. It's nothing to do with Kedusha. You know why it's a Kol Ma'al Eretz Yisrael? Because you get more mitzvahs. Mitzvahs Tluyas Ba'aretz only have an Eretz Yisrael. That's why this is Ma'al. Okay. Then that wouldn't apply then to this concept. But Sam Sofer, and I believe the Pashtas, the reason why there's a Ma'al in Eretz Yisrael is greater Kedusha. I found just last night a fascinating Sforno. Sforno seems to have a different shot. This is a Sforno in Parshas Noach. I did not put it on your sheets, but the Sforno in Parshas Noach says an amazing idea. In the Mabul, Hashem wreaked havoc and basically destroyed the entire world. When we talk about destroying the entire world, we're talking about not just the physical, the ground, the ecosystems, even the air of the entire world was destroyed during the Mabul. Except for one place, Eretz Yisrael. And the Sforno there in Parshas Noach says Hashem destroyed the entire world and it was a new world. Pre-Noach, post-Noach. Pre-flood, post-flood. That was a dramatic change in the world. The world became a new world except for one place, Eretz Yisrael. And the Sforno says over there, that's the reason behind Avir the Aram Afkin.
It's aged.
Right? It's like good wine. It's aged so long. No, it's more than that. Qualitatively, we live in a different world post-Mabul. Eretz Yisrael, you know, perhaps, you know, I'm thinking out loud, you know, when we were talking before about the Meraglim, and they see the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, and it's like unbelievable, I never saw anything like it. Well, maybe that's also part. It's a different air. It never changed. The ecosystem of the entire world changed post-Mabul, but not Eretz Yisrael. An amazing, amazing land. Well, where else in the world can you turn swamps into flourishing, you know, gardens?
Florida.
Swamps are still swamps.
That's, we just push them away. Yeah. Regroup them.
So that's an idea of the Sforno, that really this Avir de Armachim is this pristine, pure air which never changed from the time of the Mabul. And there's a third idea that was brought up before. This is the one that's most heavily quoted. I saw people try to explain it. Everyone was quoting this idea. But really, I think if you learn Pashas in the Gemara, that's a different idea, and the Sforno is also. But the Safdas Parneach, the Ragachover in Trumos, says a very interesting thing. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu want to see the land of Eretz Yisrael? Everything that Moshe Rabbeinu saw imbued it with Kedusha. Moshe Rabbeinu was a source of giving over this power to Eretz Yisrael of Avira de Aramachim. It stems from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's very hard. Like, well, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to see the land of Eretz Yisrael. Like, what's the big deal? Okay, he's not going to go there. What's the point of seeing it? So, the Ragachover, and I believe it's even based on earlier sources, says by Moshe Rabbeinu seeing it, he gave it with Kedusha, and that's why there's a din of Avir de Aramachim. In fact, you know, that these three reasons we have, perhaps there's some nafkaminas between them. I saw a machlokas achronim. Does Avir de Aramachim apply in Eva Haryarde, in Transjordan? It's machlokas achronim, Marsha and Sota on one side, other Mepharshim on the other. Not so simple. Did Moshe Rabbeinu, where is Moshe Rabbeinu looking when he looked towards Eretz Yisrael? However, especially if you take what I would, you know, if you take the Sforno's idea, Avir de Aramachim, look, all of Eretz Yisrael wasn't destroyed, has this pristine, pure air pre-Mabul, all be the same. However, if you take the Gemara in Ksubis, Hakol Ma'alin Eretz Yisrael, Hakol Ma'alin Yerushalayim, The Gemara in Ksubis itself is depicting an idea that we know. There's greater Kedusha in different parts of Eretz Yisrael. There's Eretz Yisrael, there's Yerushalayim, there's the Kosel. Right, remember we did a share last year, we talked about Tirin Kriya, different spots, it goes up in Kedusha. So if the source of Avira da Aramachim stems from this Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, then it's also logical there's different levels of Avir da Aramachim. There's learning in Eretz Yisrael, there's learning in Yerushalayim, and there's learning by the Makam HaMikdash, by the Kosel. That would make for an Avkamina. And perhaps, you know, you're looking for a place to learn. We'll get to that in a moment, practically. There might be other factors where you could concentrate better, where there's a better learning situation, where there's a better share. But putting those aside, everything's equal. You have a choice. I could sit and learn in Haifa. I could sit and learn by the Kosel. You might get a better pshat in Tosos if you learn by the Kosel. Avir da Aramachim is a certain Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael in general, and Yerushalayim even more, and the Kosel perhaps even more. Someone just spoke about that. Beautiful point, right? Tying it all together. Sanhedrin, the Lishkas HaGazas being right there in what we call the Old City also makes a lot of sense. That was right there, the source of everything. Yeah? Now at this point, I have to get to this story. This story blew my mind. Amazing, amazing story. I give Reb David credit. Thank you very much. Amazing story. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, Rosh Hashiva and Yeshiva Torah Vadas, Rav and Flatbush, and famous for his Motzi Shabbos Navi Shir. Yisrael Reisman was traveling to Eretz Yisrael in strange circumstances. Soon was probably one of his balabatim was making a bar mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael for Shabbos. Shabbos bar mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. But Reisman has a busy schedule, and he was only able to work out on the schedule the following. If you need me there for Shabbos, I'll come for Shabbos. We would land on Friday, fly out Motzei Shabbos. Mm. A Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So all right, Reisman. Okay, I have one Shabbos, I'm going to be there in Eretz Yisrael. But practically expected to have a few hours on the ground pre-Shabbos to be there in Eretz Yisrael. So his plan, of course, was, if I'm only going to be there for a few hours, the bar mitzvah was actually up north. Wasn't in Yerushalayim. So you know what? I'll land Ben-Gurion, get a cab, take me to the Kosel, I'll daven by the Kosel, and then I'll go up north for the bar mitzvah, Motzei Shabbos, I'll pack out. So his trip to Eretz Yisrael consists of being there in this bar mitzvah, but one stop, obviously the one stop is you go to the Kosel. That was his plan. Rabbos Machshavos B'Levish, Tzas Hashem Hisakum, and I don't know if this was because of LL strikes, or this or that, weather, but his flight was delayed.
Which one?
And his flight to Israel was delayed. And he realized by the time the flight finally took off that he's only going to have about an hour or two of time from the time he lands to Shabbos. What should he do? Should he go to Yerushalayim and then run up north to the Kosel, run up north to the Bar Mitzvah? If he does that, he can make it on time. But Rabbi Reisman is somebody, what he normally does before Shabbos is he gets ready early, and his last hour before Shabbos, he sits and learns. That's his normal Shabbos preparation. What should he do? Should I go to the Kosel, daven by the Kosel? Or should I know? I'll go up north, get ready for Shabbos, and I'll sit and learn. After all, don't we know Avira da Aramachim? even for a tourist who just comes in for 3 days? What should he do? This dilemma was bothering him. And it's not as if, you know, you're on a plane. Okay, nowadays, I don't know, Wi-Fi, I don't know when this took place. I don't know what he has, doesn't have. But he didn't have a chance to call up any of his friends, any other Rabbanim. So he's walking up and down the aisles of the plane. And he notices a Chasid Yid, Rav Meir Goldwicht. Rav Meir Goldwicht is a Rosh Hashiva in YU, as well as used to be a Rebbe in Yeshivas Karen Biavne. And he's on his flight. Somebody told me, if you fly to Israel, the odds are he's going to be on your flight. He goes back and forth multiple times a month between Israel and America. He gives shir in both here. So he saw Rav Meir Goldwicht on the flight. Sorry, Reisman decided, I'll ask him the shiloh. He's somebody who knows about Eretz Yisrael, goes back and forth all the time. What would you do in my scenario? Meir Goldwicht said, that's a good shiloh, have to think about it. It's a long flight to Israel. About 4 hours later, he comes back to him. Meir Goldwicht told Rabbi Reisman, you know what? I think you should go straight to the bar mitzvah. Because even though, of course, there's a maila of davening by the kosel, davening by the makom hamikdash, but this idea of avir da'ar machkim is an even greater idea. You have a chance to learn in Eretz Yisrael, avir da'ar machkim, you should do that first. Fascinating story. It's a beautiful shavuos story. Ki'isha chabalevecha. But the concept, Avir da'ar machkim, right? Struggling, I wonder what exactly is the source. How do you weigh these two things? Not so simple. But you definitely see from what we presented today, Avir da'ar machkim is something which is powerful, which exists, and has an impact. You have 1 hour, Rav Meir Goldwicht told Rabbi Reisman, you know what? It's better you go and sit and learn before Shabbos and go to the kosel. Amazing. Now, I don't know why he didn't tell him to go and learn by the kosher for an hour. Okay, but end of the day, though, I would like to portray, I think we stated the case for the avir da'ar machkim, but like everything in life, you have to know how to balance things. There's a Gemara, you know, in the back. Gemara in Ksubas talks about, just like there's an idea, you can't leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Arutz. He says, "Hu adin, there's a din, you can't leave Bavel to go to other places. Why can't you leave Bavel to go to other places?" Rashi says over there, because there are tremendous yeshivas over there. There's tremendous learning over there. There's a milo of Avir da'ar machkim, there's a milo of Kedush of Eretz Yisrael. But at the same time in Halacha, we also weigh the fact, you know, Bavel might be a center of Torah. That's not a simple place to leave either. Perhaps one could leave to go to Eretz Yisrael. But you have to weigh these things. I found a letter from the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, who was already living in Eretz Yisrael, penned the following letter to somebody who then was in Russia. And the person asking, petitioner, was asking, should he move to Eretz Yisrael? And the Chazon Ish said, well, despite the fact, of course, the concept of Avir da'ar machkim, but if you're there in Russia and there are great Talmid Chacham over there and the learning and the Torah life is going well, not so simple to come here. The struggles over here, the situation, when he was writing it, he said it was not simple. And that's something you have to weigh, the balance. Avir da'ar machkim, it's true. There's a maila. But what's on the other side? The Ma'arik has a fascinating tshuva where he discusses, you know, our halachic source stems from the Gemara. Which Gemara? Talmud Bavli. Not the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Ma'arik has a whole tshuva discussing, there's a maila to Talmud Bavli. Impossible thing. You know, through the ages, you know, You have different times, different time periods. There might have been great gedolim in Eretz Yisrael who were affected by Avir the Aramachim. But some short Jew who lived on the Lower East Side, FDR Drive, was the source for all Torah in Israel too. Rav Moshe Feinstein was the unprecedented double Adar of the entire world. Hmm. Not just the people living in Manhattan, but people living in Eretz Yisrael. Right? So yeah, last week we talked about New York's dirty water. We could also talk about the dirty air. There ain't no Avira in New York, Machkin.
No.
Right? The smog doesn't do that to you.
That's why.
Right? It's a good Hemshah for last week's share. The dirty water, New York's dirty air. But Alpha Pike, Rav Moshe Feinstein with his Amelos Batorah, the Igia Batorah, Torah is able to lift a person up beyond the stratosphere, beyond the air. And Moshe Feinstein is someone who got it. I'll tell you another thing. There's a fascinating, it's a Gemara in Megillah, and it's also a Medrash in Shir HaShirim in the Sefer Chedusha Lev, which Rabbi Luban wrote of Rabbi Hanach Leibowitz's Shmuzim. It's actually in this week's Parsha. How appropriate. When the Pasuk says, Lios Lachem Leol Kim, Rashi brings down, Shekol Adar Be'aretz Yisrael, Ani Leol Kim, Lachol Yotzi Mimano, Ka'ovid Elvos Alilim. Similar to that Gemara in Ksubis. But there, Rashi brings this amazing story that the Medrash recounts. We know Ezra HaSofer, one of the leaders of the Jewish community, didn't go up right away from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. And the reason the Gemara Megillah says, and this Medrash elaborates on it, because his Rebbe Baruch ben Nero was still living in Chutz Lachutz, still living in Bavel. That's why he didn't leave. And he felt, I'm still there with my Rebbe, I could gain from my Rebbe, so I have to stay. That was Ezra HaSofer's Psak Halacha. Now, you'll tell me, who was Ezra HaSofer at this point in time? Maybe he was a young kid and needed to be by his Rebbe. Well, the Gemara, the Medrash says later, that had he gone, he'd be appointed the Kohen Gadol. He was obviously a person already of stature, obviously a person who already had his resume with him. A great, great person. So whatever difference learning from his Rebbe at this stage in his life would make, in the scheme of things, was minimal. He already was a great goal and a great gadol. Yet, he wouldn't give up that extra clarity, that extra understanding and learning that he would get from his Rebbe, because, look, that's a milah. Living in Eretz Yisrael is a wonderful thing, but here I have this Rebbe that I'm connected to, I could gain more from. Ezra is so preposterous, I'm staying. And I would point out, on top of that, granted you're going to gain this little extra bit from your Rebbe, but what about Avir da Aramachkin? Ezra HaSofer definitely knew our share. Avir da Eretz Yisrael Machkin. The land of Israel makes you smarter. But so does a Rebbe. And not just so does a Rebbe, even more so. A person who has the connection with the Rav, with the Rebbe, a Rosh Yeshiva, someone who's connected with in his learning, that even if you're already an accomplished scholar, but you could gain more. It's not so simple to give that up to move to Israel. You're weighing different things. Right? These are the type of shilohs. It's definitely a shiloh to move to Eretz Yisrael. It's a major life shiloh. Definitely one that one should consult with their Rebbe wherever they are. But these things, it's a balance. Of course, Avir da Aramachim, of course, the land, the air of Eretz Yisrael makes for a difference, but you have to weigh it. I'll end with two quick things. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael after high school, I loved it. And I did have multiple people ask me, after being there for 2 years, why am I leaving? One was actually Rabbi Osher Arieli, Shiva Namir. The other person, other people, was this family that adopted me. I stayed by their house much. Hmm. Like, you love it so much, why are you leaving? Both of them, I gave the same answer. Well, I have a Rebbe, a yeshiva, that I was planning on going to back in America. And, I told someone later, I want to be a rabbi. He's like, oh, I could do a lot of, could be a rabbi in Israel here, a lot to do. But one of the ideas, you can find it. It's also spelled out in this piece from Hanach Leibowitz, that if you are more suitable for connecting with American Jews, there's a mile in your Habatzas Torah to do it here. So that takes precedence also. You'll affect more people, you'll affect more change. You're more suited to do this job. It's also a reason to do it over here. So, on the one hand, of course there's a mile of here, the Ar Machkim, but at the same time, you're weighing factors, where you're going to learn more, where you're going to interact with the Rebbe more, where could you teach more, give over more. Those are all factors in weighing these two things. And finally, I'll end with the beautiful thing I just saw. I was in New York this week, so on the plane, I took some old newspaper articles I didn't have a chance to read. So I saw a beautiful thing. Rav Nebensol, the Rav of the Old City, has a son now that has a huge kollel right there in the Old City. And they have kollel in the light. They really come hundreds from all over Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, to sit and learn Dafka in the Old City over there. And, definitely thinking about it, what we talked about before, there are many places, a person could be, a person could learn. But, think about it. The itineraries for trips to Israel. People run around, all the tourist sites. What about making time just to sit and learn? Go into Eish HaTorah, go into Nebensol's Kollel, go into Parat Yosef, there by the Old City, go into the Mir Yeshiva, not too far away either. What about time to sit and learn? Avir de Ar Machkim. Rabbi Reisman had 1 hour of downtime on the land, and the Meir Goldblatt told him, you should spend it learning. It's a new idea. Next time we make our itinerary for a trip to Israel, make sure to set aside some time to utilize Avir de Ar Machkim. Thank you very much.